Welcome to the Tradeswomen Australia podcast series that promotes women in trades. Here you'll hear stories of success and ambition from some of the industry's most inspirational women.
One of my favourite sayings is the whole fake it to make it.
On the show today we have Kelly. Kelly was a registered nurse and is now pursuing a diesel apprenticeship at a bus company in Sydney. Kelly tells us all about her career and the similarities between nursing and diesel mechanics.
I'm Kelly Milne and I'm a first year apprentice diesel mechanic.
So Kelly, why did you decide to pursue a career as a diesel mechanic?
Long story short, last year I was working as a registered nurse and it just was not my career path to go down and I didn't want to be a mechanic. I decided more on the diesel instead of the light because I still wanted to come home and be able to work on my car, so I wanted to do something heavier and started applying for all the apprenticeships and ended up landing one.
That's awesome. So where are you working now?
Now I work for a bus company in Sydney. I've got a fleet of 30 buses or so within our one depot.
And what were your family and friends' reactions like when you told them you were leaving nursing to pursue a career as a diesel mechanic?
At first they kind of just looked at me and been like, that's a complete 180, you know, it's a complete sterile environment. You're very clean every day to a place where you're getting dirty and filthy and covered in oil. Like why do you want to do something like that type of thing? But they knew before I started nursing, I did want to do mechanical engineering and whatnot. But, I really enjoyed building my gem and I just always had this love for mechanics. So it didn't come too much of a shock for them and they've always been very supportive of anything that I've done. So just this change in career path and whatnot, they were just go do it. If it makes you happy, you know, there's nothing better.
Have there been many similarities between your nursing and your diesel mechanics?
I do a lot of documentation. So with all the services and the checks and that, we do have checklists we have to go off of. But with it, I guess one of the biggest things is that you are working on these vehicles and you have to keep in mind the safety of the person who's going to be driving it and those passengers who are going to be on these vehicles and whatnot, which I guess a lot like with nursing, you know, you're always thinking of your patient and you're always double checking and making sure things are right before you administer medications and whatnot. And you're doing that with components on buses, when you attend to brakes or anything steering or suspension, you're double and triple checking to make sure everything's all good, everything's safe, the bus is good to go back out type of thing. So that's probably one of the main similarities between the two jobs. And in nursing, you have deadlines, but you also have to be very coherent with your time, knowing where you are, where you're at, what more tasks need to be done. And it's the same kind of with the deadlines of getting the buses out and stuff. You've got to really coerce yourself and structure your day to a good amount of time management as well.
That sounds so awesome. Do you want to walk us through a typical day in your shoes?
Yeah, sure. So pretty much usually my day starts at about 4:30 in the morning when I have to get up for a 6 o'clock start just due to the commute that I've got. You know, I'll head into work. I'll have a chat with a leading hand, find out what I've got to do for the day. On average, it's usually, you know, undertaking a safety check on our buses, going amongst them repairs, doing a service here and there. Sometimes there's a little bit of a bigger job, undertaking replacing the brakes or, you know, doing a water pump or something like that. And then finishing up around 2 p.m., coming home, having a nap and then cooking dinner.
Wow, it sounds like you must have a long commute. Do you live outside of Sydney and have to travel into the city for work?
I live in Campbelltown, so I work more in a city. So the travel for that, just trying to avoid tolls at the moment gives that extra commute time for me, unfortunately.
Oh, that sucks. 4 a.m. is such an early morning.
It is. It's even worse, if I do overtime on Saturday, I can either have to start at 4 a.m. in the morning or 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. So it can be even earlier than that sometimes.
Wow. So what made you want to get into diesel mechanics? Was it something that you took an interest in high school?
No, high school is actually completely the opposite for me. So high school mainly focused on, you know, going to university and getting a degree and whatnot. I did want to do mechanics and I was thinking engineering at that time because of the whole uni degrees, but for me now with applying for all the apprenticeships and whatnot, I chose diesel more over light vehicle mechanics, mainly for the fact that, you know, I see so many friends of mine who are light vehicle mechanics and they come home and they don't necessarily want to work on their car, but because heavy vehicles are so much more strenuous of a job to do, it just makes coming home and working on your car so much more of a breeze. And I do find that, like, I can finish at work and come home and say I've got to do a service on my car, I'll just go about it because it's just so much more easier to do.
That's so true. I'm a light vehicle mechanic and I can never be bothered working on my own car.
Yeah, it's like, you go to work, change some tyres or something, and like it just takes it out of you, and you come home and you've got like a Commodore and you just lift the wheels straight off. Like, you don't need any devices to help you. Like, it's just so simple to do.
Yeah, you're right. It's easy and you just keep putting it off. Kelly, as you know, there are a lot of opportunities in the automotive industry. For the listeners, do you want to explain the difference between light vehicle and heavy vehicle?
And so, you've got your light vehicle, which is basically your passenger cars, like the car that you commute to work in and whatnot. You know, you've got all of your little tinkering to do on them, like services and I guess your bigger jobs as well, like, you know, changing over the head, you know, and stuff like that. Then you've got diesel, which, you know, as per the word, it's engines that run on diesel fuel. So they're a lot more bigger, like trucks and buses that you've got to work with. Everything's a lot more strenuous. There's, what else would there be to put it as? The diesel oil definitely likes to hold into your hands a lot more than what your standard oil probably would. I guess with diesel, like, I know for me with work at the moment, I do undertake mechanical jobs that I do, but I've also got panel beading in there and spray painting and a bit of fabrication work and welding and electrical work as well. I'm not too sure if a light vehicle would undertake a bit of the auto electrical side unless they've done the auto electrical course.
Yeah, light vehicles a bit of everything as well. What are some of the unexpected benefits that have come from your job?
I think an unexpected benefit is exactly that, is that I get to tinker in those extra little fields that, you know, you usually probably wouldn't in a lot of other trades as you're undertaking your apprenticeship at the beginning. But with where I am, like, I have multi-skilled bosses who are able to show me how to do all these different things. So I am picking up all those extra skills outside of mechanical, which does come in handy at home. Like, we're doing a little bit of panel beating here and there as well, and understanding a little bit more about the electrics sides of the vehicles and whatnot as well.
And is part of your apprenticeship working with your customers or clients as well?
My customers are my bus drivers, so because we're asleep, we do have our bus drivers come in to tell us, like, you know, I've been driving this bus, this is a bit funny going on, can you have a look at it? So they're my customers. I don't necessarily deal with passengers.
And what do you think they think when they drive in and see you doing what you do?
A lot of them are a little bit taken back at first. They don't actually expect, when I started, they didn't expect to see a woman walk out from the bus when they've called just to inform me of something. But they're all a lot more used to it now, and they're very supportive and like, hey, how you going? Like, are you enjoying it and everything? So, yeah, it's quite good having them.
That's so nice. And talking about support, have you had much support from your family and friends?
Yeah, my family and my friends, they've all been very supportive of anything I've ever done. Like, there's never been a time where they haven't. And with being a mechanic, they're even more supportive because it's taken me so long to get to where I want to be and whatnot. So they're always there. They're always checking up on me, seeing how I'm going, like wanting to hear the new story and whatnot. So, yeah, they're very, very supportive.
And what advice would you have for someone who's interested in pursuing the same career as you?
Probably the best bit of advice that I could give, like I've said it to a lot of people, one of the biggest barriers I had was my own self-confidence with a lot of things. And one of my favourite sayings is the whole fake it to make it. And you'd be surprised just how much that little bit of fake confidence can actually turn into an abundance of true confidence. I'll have my leading hand be like, oh, I've got a task for you to do, you haven't done this before, and like you kind of choke up and you just go, oh, okay, type of thing. But I was just like lucky with him because he instills that confidence into me from him, like, because he's like, you can do it, type of thing, I'll show you how to do it and you'll be fine and whatnot. So just fake yourself that little bit of confidence and you're just gonna like abrupt into it, type of thing.
At work, are there any particular jobs that you really like doing?
Oh, that's actually a tricky one. At the moment, I kind of like everything that I'm doing because I'm only 10 months into my apprenticeship. It's all still very new and whatnot. But the bigger jobs are definitely a lot more exciting, like overhauling an engine or, you know, taking the sump off and having to change over compressors and this and that, like all the bigger things. But it is quite fun as well when you've just got a service and you can set out all your tools, get started on it, you know, you take your time with it because it does take a couple of hours to do and whatnot. So every part of the job, I haven't found a bit yet that I actually don't like. So, yeah.
And do you have any hero moments or any moments where you've been really proud of something that you've achieved?
One of the biggest things with being a heavy vehicle mechanic is building up your strengths type of thing as you go through it. And like when I started, like I could barely pick up anything, struggle with changing over a set of tyres. I'd be trying to mount an alternator onto the bracket and I couldn't ever hold it up and whatnot. And I noticed like the other day I had to replace a mount that had broken, which required having to take the alternator off and back on. And I was able to actually do that all myself because I've finally built that strength. And I hadn't realised it because it had been months since I'd done an alternator bracket in a while. And I finally was actually able to move it myself and I was like, yeah, finally, like, I'm getting stronger, I'm getting able to do this and whatnot. So that was probably my most proudest moment of recent times.
And I'm so glad you said that because strength is often seen as a barrier for women entering into the industry, but it's something that you can build up, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I haven't even gone to, like, I've got a gym membership. I signed up when I started my apprenticeship, but I've never actually been. All of my strength has actually been built through the trade, through undertaking my job.
Yeah, I have a gym membership too. It's like an ongoing donation to the gym.
Pretty much. I'll get there one day.
And how do you think we could get more women into the automotive industry?
I'd say we're already kind of moving there, like starting to talk more about having women in male-dominated roles and everything, but I guess, as we said before, one of the biggest barriers everyone sees is strength. And maybe within the discussions we're having of women being in male-dominated roles and getting an understanding of what these roles are like is that, you know, you do build strength on the job. You don't, you know, you can start off like me and be a bit of a weakling and, you know, 10 months down the track, you're doing things on your own because you've built that strength. Yeah, I think in the direction that we're going with discussing more about women being in these trades and whatnot, especially in heavy vehicle, which is still something you don't really see, we will eventually get there to a point where there's not really going to be too many barriers and where women are going to be gung-ho into going into these roles.
Have you come across many other women working in the industry?
At the company that I work for, there is another girl. So she is a second year to me. She is, you know, she's as good as the boys from what I've heard. She gets in there and she gets the job done. She doesn't worry about too much, not strength, not nothing. And then, you know, I'm in this group at the moment known as SALT, which is Supporting and Linking Tradeswomen. And one of the chicks from there actually approached me through Instagram and she's a heavy vehicle mechanic and whatnot. And by opening up into this world of SALT, you know, like there is other women within these trades to meet along the way as well. But at the moment, I will confirm I do only know two, but there is a lot of other women that I do see at TAFE as well when I'm there in different roles in light vehicle, in plant and in diesel.
What do you have planned for your future in the industry?
At the moment, you know, I would like to see myself doing a bit of a plant conversion a little bit later on. But for now, just sticking with diesel, I'd like to get a little bit more into engine building as well. And not only that, I would like to do some extra courses on like the auto electro side and also in fabrication as well. But that's probably going to be a little bit further down the line, but I'll see how I go to get there.
That's so awesome, and it sounds like you've had a really positive experience.
Yeah, I haven't had anything really negative in experiences. I've worked with tradesmen who are incredibly supporting. They're always there, you know, answering any question I have. Their ability to match their teaching styles to my learning styles is like second to none type of thing. So I haven't got anything negative to say about my overall experience. Everything's just been really good and very supportive and whatnot.
And has there been anyone along your journey who you've really drawn inspiration from to do what you do?
My main inspiration actually comes from my dad. He's a bit of a jack of all trades, does a little bit of tinkering here and there and whatnot. I've pretty much helped him with it all since I was a kid. And then there's my partner as well, who's been my main support with it. He's a heavy diesel mechanic as well, so yeah.
I love it, Callie. And do you have any final words of wisdom for the women out there who are considering pursuing a career as a heavy diesel mechanic?
Pretty much don't be scared, and most of all, don't allow that little niggling self-doubt to stop you from doing what you want to do. Like, if you want to do it, just go for it. Put yourself out there and follow that career path. Choose, see how you like it before making yourself a decision, because you don't want to be later down the track where you will regret it. Like, there is chances nowadays where they're actually hiring a lot more mature age. That's where I've been really lucky, being 26, being able to restart my whole career. But just do it, because at the end of the day, if it's what you want to do, it's your happiness, that should be your main focus.
Kelly, thank you so much for coming on the show today. We really appreciate it. How can listeners get in touch with you?
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed my podcast. And if you wanted to get in contact with me, you can get in contact with me through Tradeswomen Australia.
Thanks again, Callie, and thank you, listeners. Please stick around for some special show notes. Thank you for tuning into today's show in partnership with the Federal Department of Education and Training, Real Skills for Real Careers. You can find out more about pursuing an apprenticeship and beginning your lady tradie career on our website at www.tradeswomenaustralia.com.au or on the myskills.gov.au website. If you enjoyed our show today, please leave us a 5-star rating and spread the word to encourage more women into trades. Thanks again, and catch you next week.